William swallowed. He was still very pale. "Go and fetch your suitcase," said Angela grimly. "We must call the police as soon as possible."
Do you think it could have been an accident?"
said William. "I doubt it," said Angela. She moved a little closer. The dead woman was lying on her side, one arm thrown out above her head and the other wrapped about her own waist. It looked as though she had been thrown down the slope at the point where the undergrowth was thickest. Had William not swerved off the road, she might never have been discovered.
"Perhaps we ought to carry her to the top of the bank," said William, although he did not look as though he relished the prospect.
"No," said Angela firmly. "She must be left here. The police will want to examine the scene. We've already disturbed enough as it is. Go and get your things. We had better start off immediately." William did as he was instructed, and returned, unable to stop himself from glancing at the dead woman as he passed again. "We shall get on quicker if we leave our things here," said Angela. "We can send someone back to get them later. Now, which way was it? I believe we carry on to the end here, then turn right and walk for another mile." They set off along the road at a brisk pace. Lucy's directions proved correct, and about 20 minutes later they arrived at the house and turned in at the gate. Gypsy's Mile was a low, rambling farmhouse which was set well back from the lane and was surrounded by grazing land. The house was named after a nearby field that had once been the site of illegal horse racing, and it suited its name perfectly, given its ramshackle exterior and peeling paint. The Harrisons had moved to Kent from London on a whim a year or two ago, and Angela had been surprised at first. Knowing Marguerite Harrison, who was not the sort of person to hide herself away from society. However, Marguerite had soon surrounded herself with a regular coterie of friends and hangers-on from London and elsewhere, and, she assured Angela, had never been happier.
"Darling, what on earth have you been doing to yourself?" came a dramatic voice from a downstairs window, as Angela and William walked up the front path with torn clothes and muddy shoes. "Don't move an inch," the voice continued.
The window slammed, and shortly afterwards the front door was flung open to reveal a tall, angular woman wearing an extraordinary headdress and a gorgeous array of silk scarves and shawls. She ran out and engulfed Angela in a perfumed embrace, then stood back and examined her from head to toe in an attitude of exaggerated horror.
"But where have you been?" she said. "We were expecting you hours ago."
"I—" began Angela, but Marguerite had caught sight of William, who had removed his chauffeur's cap in order to brush the dirt off it.
"And who is this?" she said. "Why, Angela, you sly thing, you never said a word."
William's face turned a splendid shade of pink, and he immediately clapped the hat back on his head. "This is my driver," said Angela hurriedly. "We had a bit of an accident on the way here."
"An accident? Why, you poor darling, you're not hurt?"
"No, just rather muddy. But Marguerite—"
"Then we must get you cleaned up. Come in, darling, come in."
She ushered them both into the house.
"Miles, Miles, Angela has been in a terrible accident."
"Oh, no, it was nothing like that," said Angela, as William escaped thankfully to the kitchen. Miles Harrison emerged from somewhere and looked at Angela vaguely. He was even taller and thinner than his wife, with a long, mournful face, and the air of a man who had long since given up the fight.
"What's that?" he said to Marguerite. "Who's had an accident?"
"Angela, of course! Can't you see the state of her?"
"Oh, hallo, Angela,"
said Miles, seeming to recognise her at last.
"What's all this?"
"We had an unexpected encounter with some sheep and ran into the ditch," said Angela. "We had to leave the car and our luggage and walk the rest of the way here.